Yeah. Yeah. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Get up your bands. Pick up your wins. We out there league, get in the game and out of the stands. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Tell me that you're ready for the fantasy, fantasy, fantasy football, friends. Get up your bands, pick up your wins. We out there league, get in the game and out of the stands.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Football Friends podcast. As always, your fearless host right here, Cameron McCoy. I am joined today by Will. Hello, Will. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing great, man. I also got Josh over here. Josh, what's up, man?
You know, living the life, living the life. How are you, man?
Fantastic. We are recording another episode. It's always good to be with my friends talking fantasy football, talking the stuff that we like, talking the stuff we care about. You know, we're like 60 days away from the regular season kickoff, I think.
Final countdown.
We're getting close, dude. We're getting close. We're basically, July's over.
Yeah.
We got preseason starting halfway through August, end of August, and then we're into the season. Like, so we're basically like 2 weeks away from football at this point.
I feel like a fiend. I feel like I've been itching since I started this podcast, too. I'm just like,
Oh, man, it's going to get so much worse for you as we get into the season and we start cranking out more episodes on the weeks because, you know, there's going to be more content coming out, which good for the listeners, good for us. It'll be fun to be able to put that time into this. But, you know, once we get into the season, we're going to have episodes at least 4 a week, if not 5, if we can work it and get 5 a week in. With my combination of you guys, my other co-hosts and stuff like that, that's the goal, you know, so we can bring all the hard hitting, you know, fantasy football facts stuff out there, you know, and also, you know, sandwich opinions and
steak
opinions on steak and whatnot, what goes on a steak. Anyway, again, one more time, this is the Fantasy Football Friends podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. If you like this show, feel free to hit us with that subscribe, hit us with that like. Give us that 5-star rating. Let us know how we're doing. You can reach us at FFB Friends on Twitter. We're also on Gmail, theffbfriends@gmail.com. Send us those questions, those comments, whatever you got going on, man. We'll be happy to discuss that on the show. You know, we'll give some special love to whatever your question you got coming in, especially once we get into the season. We're getting into draft seasons now. A lot of people are doing their drafts. I know you guys are new to like the really competitive fantasy football game, but right now there's a big tournaments doing their drafts. It's called the Scott Fish Bowl. It's a charity league.
Oh.
There's like hundreds of them that he hosts. It's a huge deal, and so they're doing their drafts right now. It's a little early to be drafting
because preseason everyone got hurt. I mean, look, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. Yeah,
that's why typically most people, I think, unless the season's really shifted its timeline, most people draft in, I think, Memorial Day weekend.
That's when I draft to. Like 11th or something. Like that.
Yeah, something like that. You usually want to draft around the third week of preseason because that fourth week. The starters aren't really playing. So,
no, you get roster cuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't really have to worry so much about injuries, crazy injuries. So, you know, you got draft questions, hit us up, man. Let us know. Another thing that I've been thinking about doing is if you guys, you have a specific format that you'd like us to do a mock draft for, let me know. We've done a super flex. We did a standard, I believe. And I think we did one other one.
I think we did like a half point.
Half point. Flex. Yeah, something like that. So, you know, we're happy to accommodate. That'll help us fill in these episodes, especially once we get done with, what we're going to be talking about today. The main course, the meat and potatoes of the episode is going to be the NFC North. Super excited to talk about this with you guys. It's a very fun division. I think, you know, while the Lions, you know, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but while the Lions didn't do anything spectacular last year, they did show some life and really that grinded out mentality. It was a lot of fun watching them play, man. And I don't know if you guys remember, but that first win that they got of the season, that just felt
that was insane.
So yeah. good. So
it was,
good.
It was different. I mean, everyone's kind of rooting for the Lions because their head coach is really just so inspiring and whatnot.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jared Goff is obviously awful, but like they have a few good pieces on that
I think he's serviceable. I think he'll get them by until they can find or draft a franchise QB.
I think they'll probably trade for a franchise QB or draft one, but I don't really.
I mean, they're still going to be at the bottom of the pack next year, so I imagine they'll have a fairly. And this is going to be a good draft class, I think, already just looking at the prospects coming in. This is going to be better than this year. So I think that there's going to be at least a QB out there that they could go out and get. And have him, you know, playing behind Jared Goff, who, how many playoff games has Jared Goff been in? I mean, a lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a QB that knows that kind of struggle, you know, to have him as ahead of you, that's almost invaluable kind of thing. So that's what we're going to be talking about on the main part of this episode, guys. But before we get into that, we're going to get into the fun, the real fun section of the episode is the first half kickoff question. Guys, we all like Disney movies, right? Disney's great. We're grown adult men and we like Disney movies,
still
right?
Watch Disney movies.
I love Disney movies.
Oh, Disney Plus is fantastic. I love watching the old movies. I love the new ones. Oh, animated Disney is fantastic.
Every time they add like a new collection, I'm just scrolling. I'm like, oh, look what they have now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there goes my whole Saturday.
It's so good. Oh, those movies, like they hit you right in the heart too. Like grown men crying over some animated movies.
You teared up in a Disney movie before?
Oh, 100%. I mean, especially if it has anything to do with like dad stuff. Oh, that's a quick way to get my eyes watering, man. That hits right home. But no, so what? Not necessarily who your favorite is, but what's one of the most interesting Disney villains to you guys? Who you guys think is one of the most interesting ones? We'll go with Will first. Will, who you got for us?
To me, it had to be Scar. Just what happens in the Lion King movies.
He's brutal.
His role is just insane. Like he is,
he's so
the leader pretty much. Of
he's
like,
so manipulative and like scheming, maniacal. Like there's so many like awful adjectives you could throw out for this man.
But isn't that what like most leaders do? Even like regardless how they got there, like how did he get to become the leader of like that entire pack? He took it. Right?
He got to be the leader of them by being the Hitler of lions.
Yeah.
This man is that lion is Hitler. I'm sorry. Like that lion is definitely Hitler.
He did kill his own brother.
He killed his own brother, and then he started like death squads to go out and like
the hyenas.
The hyenas. The hyenas are the brown shirts and the SS. Come on, dude. No. Let's go. Oh, sorry. That got really intense really quick, but I'm sorry. I have strong opinions on Scar, the lion.
Scar, watch out.
Oh, man.
I saw something online where it was saying that the skull in one of the scenes was supposed to be like his brother's head and like he'd let
and he stepped on it. Oh, yeah. The one that he crushes when all the
He'd let him like a hyena's his bones clean or something like that, which is even like another level to his brutality.
I believe it. Crazy. I believe it 100%. Super believe it. Because that dude was crazy in that movie.
And that's a cool name too. Like Scar.
Yeah, Scar. Oh, yeah. I mean, hands down, one of the best names for a Disney villain for sure too.
Couldn't be beat.
What a plot.
To this day, you know,
like, what a plot.
To this day, what's your favorite movie? Lion King. It wouldn't be Lion King without him in it.
For sure.
One of the best villains. I agree with that one.
Yeah, that's a good one, man. Josh, who you got, man? Who you going for?
All right, this might.
There's a lot of good choices.
Yeah, you know, I had a couple in mind. I wanted to go with Marvel, but that's a little bit more recent. Who knew? But you know, I think you know, controversial or not, Cruella De Vil.
Oh, hey, Cruella De Vil.
You know what? She knew what she wanted. She was, wealthy for, like, being fashion. She kind of worked hard to get where she wanted to be. And then, I mean, she wanted to have a fur coat. And, I mean, back in the day, they made fox coats. And, you know, it was just, you know, she wanted a Dalmatian coat, you know?
What's
wrong with that? Yeah, that's her style, dude. We used to make bear rugs.
It's pretty messed up, but, I mean, you know, high fashion, dog.
High fashion. Everything has its cost, you know? And I think she would have got away with it.
I mean,
she's really smart, but her henchmen were dumb.
Yeah, her henchmen were pretty dumb. They were kind of the downfall of them. And also the fact that the dogs are apparently like super smart dogs. Like, what?
Untrained, you know, like kept in a kennel all day. But
those
still,
darn, Pongo and Purdy. I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for those meddling dogs.
Exactly.
And the rest of those meddling dogs.
Smarted.
Oh, man. Yeah. And she's cool. I also want to say, like, she's got to be one of the few Disney villains that has her own theme song with her name in it.
Yeah.
Cruella de Vil. Cruella de Vil. Yeah. Like, I don't know that anybody else has their own theme song.
But, you know, she was just really cool.
She was like the bad girl before bad girls were cool. You know what I mean? You're like, damn, she's hot.
Yeah. I mean, you're telling me if she was a real person in real life right now, she wouldn't be an influencer on like TikTok, Instagram, and stuff like that. Oh, like, you know for a fact she would.
She'd be like Lady Gaga. Have you ever seen like the real 101 Dalmatians? Like, not
The live action? No, yeah, I haven't.
She was hot.
I like the live action.
Wait, the old one, the really old one, or the one that they made recently?
The not animated one.
No, they did it. They did a live action like back in the early 2000s. Okay, yeah.
I still like that the new live action with Emma Stone. Like, I like the way that they painted that, even though they kind of switched up.
They did a Wicked kind of thing with it.
They tried to make it seem like she wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
And like she never really killed the dogs. It was all kind of like a trick to make people think that she did.
Why would you want to trick people into thinking you killed dogs?
You know, because, you know, sometimes being the bad guy, you know, it's more publicity. It's clickbait. You know, then newspaper bait, whatever you'd have it.
That's very fair. That's very, very fair. Those are both great answers. I mean, I think I got to go with my boy, Jafar.
No.
Gotta go with Jafar, man. Honestly, Jafar had such flamboyancy to him. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed his time. His music, too. I mean, just from a musical stance, the songs that he was a part of, those were intense songs. He also turned into a genie.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably, in the other than Hades... who I was waffling between him and Hades, honestly, this entire time. Other than Hades, this man had the most power of any Disney villain out there. I mean, becoming an all-powerful genie.
And he was a sorcerer before that, like, already. Like,
I think he was kind of like called a sorcerer, but I think it was more like a...
hypnosis or something.
I think it was more of a smoke and mirrors thing. He was just conning everybody into thinking he was... like, kind of like Rasputin for the Romanovs and everything. Like, I just think that he was... kind of fake in that
fake
instance.
Until you make it, dude.
It worked for him. He got to marry the princess.
And that's how people used to rule kingdoms back then. I mean, he went about it the legitimate way. Like, he didn't try to overthrow it. You know, he went by, you know, being the second man in charge and then marrying the king's daughter. And then, you know, I mean, that's the way that you're supposed to do it back then.
Hey, man, it worked for him. Like I said, man, those songs with him in it. Also, I remember being terrified when I was little watching those movies because he gets so big and it's just dark and it's so foreboding and everything. That's an intense, that's an intense scene.
Were you more afraid of him or Hitler?
No. Well, I didn't personally know Hitler at the time when that came out, so I think him, but you know, as an adult, it's more Hitler. But yeah, no, that's Hitler. I think what we're coming to is Hitler is the worst Disney villain.
Yeah,
isn't
he? I don't think he is. I think they're trying to personify him in like split ways. Yeah, probably.
You guys have heard that, like, Walt Disney was a Nazi sympathizer, right? Like, I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense now, right?
I'm just saying.
It gets deep.
But this is a family show. This is a fantasy football podcast. I'm sorry not to go down too far down there. I don't want to alienate some of our listeners out there that, you know, hey, don't support Nazis, but also like listen to this podcast if you do. I guess I don't know what to tell you, man. We need those views, those listens.
I feel like Disney's getting kind of bold too. Like, they might make an animated movie about it sometimes.
Oh god, that would be awful. I feel like the closest we got to that, and I already kind of touched on it, was what was her name? It was the Romanoff movie. It was Annabella. It was Anastasia.
Oh,
Anastasia. Yeah. Do you guys remember that movie?
Anastasia.
Rasputin was... Rasputin and the little bat guy that was like the... He was... that movie was very... Sections of it were very easily ripped off from Aladdin, I feel like, because Rasputin was Jafar and...
They just put it in Russia or something.
That stuff actually happened. Like, Rasputin was a crazy man who slept around and stuff.
Didn't he, like, poison a whole bunch of people, too?
Poisoning people. He drank poison himself.
Yeah.
So that he thought that it would make him immune to poisoning. Like, the man was crazy.
But didn't it work?
It's arguable whether it worked or not.
Or did it just like feed into why he was so crazy?
I think that it, yeah, I think it helped it.
He like conditioned himself? Like,
yeah, he would,
that's
take,
what, that,
he
that's,
would take like a teaspoon of poison like every yeah, day, yeah, like, part of his breakfast.
Maybe it got him like wasted.
I want to say it was like arsenic or something like that.
Yeah, if somebody
like
tried to overthrow him, he'd be yeah, able to like yeah, not be.
No, he, that dude, you know, I actually, there's another podcast that I listen to called Behind the Bastards, and they did a 3 or 4 part section on like the last czar of Russia, mm-hmm, and it talks a lot about his involvement with them. And that man, that dude was crazy charismatic, and that was his big thing. He was just able to charisma his way. Like if it was D&D, that man put all of his points into charisma and just rolled really high all the time. And that man just like waltzed into everything. Like he was a commoner basically, mm-hmm, and like he got to bend the ear of the most powerful person on the earth, because at that time Russia's landmass that they occupied was the largest in the world. They were the yep, strongest power back then. So very interesting stuff. But again, let's move on past that conversation. That was fun though. Hey man, I like it. I dig it. That was a lot of fun.
A lot of depth.
No, second half kickoff question. This is gonna be, you know, more related to what we're getting into for the episode, as always. We're talking about the NFC North today. So I want to ask you guys, out of the four teams, out of the you know, couple running backs that each of them have, who's your favorite running back going into the 2022 season? Josh, you want to go first? You got your guy?
Yeah, I mean,
I see you're wearing a Chicago shirt right now, so is that where we're going?
It might be pretty obvious. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's definitely going to be David Montgomery, just because, I mean, obviously he might not be everybody's top choice, but you know, when I look at the first 1 and 2, and, you know, I always think that so much could happen. I mean, he really was solid last year, injured 4 games out of the season.
Yeah.
You know, ended really well.
It's going to
well,
happen for running backs, though. I mean, you're never going to play a full season as a running back. So four games is not that ridiculous.
No. Yeah, you know, he gets a fair amount of touches. He gets, a fair amount of, you know, receptions as well, too.
He gets a lot of receptions, yeah.
I mean, fair, just to have him placed, to me, it was kind of low last year. Where was he? Like 18th or like 16th, see, I believe.
Oh, David Montgomery, like his running back ranking.
Yeah,
it's top 20.
It was top 20, but I feel like him being like injured 19. Those 4 games out of the season definitely impacted it too.
Oh yeah, 100%. If he had played those, I mean.
So as a Chicago fan, I really want to see him do well. I'm rooting for him, and you know that's my guy.
David Montgomery finished in 19. Standard leagues as the 20th.
Okay, yeah, let's see.
20th RB off the board. So a very solid RB3 if you had him there. But to be fair, he missed 4 games.
Exactly. You're just going to bench him anyways when he doesn't start. So it's pretty much an RB2.
Right. I would say he was an RB2 when he was there. And there were weeks where he was an RB1 for sure. Because the man had several games where he popped off like crazy.
Definitely RB1 this season, though. I mean, after how he closed out last time.
So. The only problem that I see for him is Khalil Herbert behind him. Because in his absence, those games last year, Khalil Herbert stepped up and really made a name for himself. But I think with... And I don't want to get too much into this because we'll talk about it soon. But I think with Justin Fields getting into his second year, I think that if David Montgomery can stay healthy a little bit more than he did last year, I mean, he's just a good runner. He's one of my favorite players in the league in general. My favorite players are typically running backs.
Yeah.
The man is, I think he's criminally undervalued most of the time.
He might have some competition when he was out, but still, I mean, he's getting 80% of the touches each, every game. So they might be splitting it up, but he's not to what is like 50-50, which a lot of, you know, teams do to just, you know, give their roster some depth. He's still getting most of the touches.
He's probably the closest you can get to a workhorse back.
That's what I was going to say.
And for as late as you can get him, because he's going, I'm looking at average ADP 40, right now.
47 or something like that.
I see him, and this obviously depends on the format you're looking at, but I see him right now as the 34th overall RB17. He's going 37th in sleeper ADP. Yeah. So if that's what you're looking at, then yeah, that's where that's coming in at. So.
That's pretty, like,
I mean, that's it's, great. It's, that's great value.
It's criminally low, though.
Yeah.
I feel like that's low. Like I wouldn't wait.
So what I'm saying is, like, if you wanted to go wide receiver,
Oh, that's risky, but yeah.
You can and you could grab him in the third round.
I am a pass first, so I might
I mean,
wait.
Or you could go wide receiver, running back, and then however you want to do. I mean, I don't recommend taking a tight end that early.
It goes wide receiver, quarterback, running back.
Oh,
that's goodness. How it goes.
That's awful advice.
Only other way to go is quarterback, wide receiver, running back, okay? What do you mean? Picking up Tom Brady.
PSA right now, this podcast does not recommend that you take a quarterback that early. If you want to follow Josh's draft strategy.
My personal opinions that worked in the past.
That's a YOLO strategy right there. Your home leagues, that's fair.
Yeah.
Your home leagues and stuff. But if you're in a competitive league, people that know what they're doing, people that are listening to this podcast right now, that is not going to cut
Please
it.
God, no.
Don't take my word to the bank.
Yeah. Not in a competitive league. But, you know, if we're talking family league and stuff, hey, go for your... You know, nobody's going to be upset if you take a QB in the first round. I mean, I don't think you're
the best here.
Your family might mock you if
they'll
they know anything.
Oh, they
if,
will.
Again,
they,
if they listen to this podcast, they'll definitely
they
mock
will,
you.
They do. And they already did. But
oh, okay.
It's okay. Well, I won one out of the few.
Well, there you go.
4 years I played. So
yeah. Well, I like that. I like that answer. I do like David Montgomery, and I feel like that gives us a chance to highlight, you know, where he's going and everything. So I dig that. Will, who are you? Who are you leaning to? You got three main choices right now.
Three main choices.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you going with them?
I would say Dalvin Cook for sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's fair. That's fair.
The North has some pretty stout running backs. I mean, they're pretty solid division for running backs right there.
I mean, I think that playing in that cold weather,
yeah,
you gotta be able to pound that ball and
tote that rock. Yeah.
Right. So you're going with Dalvin Cook. Tell me a little bit about what made you go with him.
I mean, he's an FSU grad, you know. Yeah, we could be like one day.
Oh wow. Where's your FSU shirt? Oh yeah, see.
Well, he was washing dishes before he got here, so you know.
Couldn't ruin it. No.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, Dalvin, I mean, as you would say, if he stays like healthy, he's definitely like a top five back. I mean,
I thought it was funny last year. Like one of his best games was when he came off of an injury and he was wearing like a sling over his shoulder to like keep it in place. And he had one of the best. That was just like one of his best games of the season. It was a monstrous game. I had him last year.
That's like a mind game as well too. They're like, hey, go out there in this press conference and like put on this sling. Like we're definitely gonna throw.
Oh no, he definitely dislocated his shoulder, which is an injury that he's had multiple times at this point in his career. So. But yeah, the sling game. I think he ran for close to 200 yards and two touchdowns or something like that. Like the man was a monster.
Yeah.
It was an absolute sling.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a beast. I mean, when he can stay healthy, he's just a beast. Like he averages 4.7 yards per carry last year rushing, and he's always had like a super high YPC.
Yeah.
Other than that, he's a good receiving back to me too. Like,
He's a workhorse if there ever was one for sure.
Yeah.
He shines in all the different areas. So I don't want to talk too much about him too because I have other thoughts, but we'll get into that when we talk about that team.
Of course.
But the guy that I'm going to go with here is actually Aaron Jones, and Aaron Jones I think is just being again. This is another guy absolutely criminal. How late he's going in drafts. He's going as the RB14. So he's not even an RB1 in drafts.
No.
He's going as the 23rd overall. That is bananas. He is going as the 24th overall in sleeper. But that's crazy to me. They just lost Devontae Adams. He is the clear and better pass catcher of him and A.J. Dillon. There are going to be plenty of times this year where that man is on the field with A.J. Dillon and he's lined up wide. He is going to catch so many passes, and he is probably, I mean, this is speculation, but I would put money down that he is probably one of Aaron Rodgers' favorite targets right now. He's got the best rapport with him of the people that are there. He's played with him longer than Adam Lazard has. And Tonyan. And those are the only two weapons that they have that have been there for any amount of time. So this man has Aaron Rodgers' trust. Aaron Rodgers has historically gone to the guys that he trusts over anybody else. I mean, that's why Devontae Adams was as good as he was for as long as he was.
We're talking about fantasy, right? I mean, like, are you talking about 23 points per game? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, that's insane. Like, that, I would love to have that.
Oh, I think that that is basically like not necessarily his floor, because that's awfully high, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities that he'll score more than that on the regular, because he's gonna I think he's gonna catch so many touchdowns for Aaron Rodgers when they get in that goal line package. That man is going to be the Davante Adams of this unit, I think. I think he's going to be that short area. He's going to run up there, do a cross route through the middle, and just catch a touchdown.
Yeah.
Again, you can't understate how much it means to have Aaron Rodgers' trust.
Criminally low. I agree.
That's what I'm saying.
With an average point per game? I mean,
for example, we were just talking about Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook is the RB6. So if you draft him as the RB6, eighth overall, he has to do very well every single week for you to return that value.
He's top five when healthy. But
yeah, I'm just saying, Aaron Jones, for his value, that sounds like more
Montgomery,
where
I'm... round three, though.
So this is what we're saying. So what you do is you go wide receiver in the first round.
Oh, God, no.
You take wide receiver in the first round. You take Aaron Jones in the second. You take David Montgomery in the third. You're starting with a pretty mean team right there.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the only reason that Aaron Jones is going slow is obviously A.J. Dillon.
Yeah,
A.J. Dillon's really going to get that much workload, even if Aaron Jones, like... I don't think Aaron Jones is going to wind
up. Well, they were splitting touches fairly evenly, so, you know.
I just don't think A.J. Dillon's really that good.
I mean, have you seen that man's quads?
He's thick, yeah. No homo.
That man, I mean, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, but... that dude's a beast. Whatever he's putting in his protein shakes, it's working.
Yeah.
Those thighs could crush a walnut.
I like Aaron Jones when he gets carries, though. I mean, he's a good receiver.
Oh, no, he's a great running back, too, between the tackles and stuff.
But you've got Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback.
Right, he's going to throw those passes.
Who are you going to put, you know, like, your trust in to win the games? And what does Aaron Rodgers do? He's like the comeback kid, you know? Like, it's fourth quarter, down by two touchdowns.
He's going to get you down the field in, like, three plays,
exactly.
And then bam,
and then you
touchdown.
Have Aaron Jones right there. Like, he might get more receptions and yards off of those when it counts that are going to give you the points you need.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's
fantasy's all about that. If you play in any half or full PBR, he's going to be.
And with Aaron Rodgers right now, they're definitely pass first. He might get, you know, more receptions and, you know, carries, but it's okay.
I like a lot where he's going there. So, yeah. So that's our picks. I think not to discount DeAndre Swift out there, guys, but
he is,
it's the worst offense out of the four.
Oh, yeah.
Lower scoring opportunities.
I don't know about that, actually. To me, the Bears are still the worst offense, but...
That's a toss-up. That's tough.
I get it.
I don't know. I don't know. I think that the Bears are...
Bold take. Bears finish last.
Oh, hey. I like it. I dig it. I mean, not so bold take. Lions finish last.
People kind of like, you know, underestimate us, though, because... Yeah.
You know, no, I dig the Bears. I mean, you know, enough. I really, really hope that Justin Fields steps up in his second year.
What's his line look like? That's the...
Yeah, their line's not good.
They were awful last year.
Yeah, what is well, let's we'll save that for when we get into really breaking down the teams. So that was our first and second half kickoff question. That was fun, guys. Yeah, appreciate it. Let's see if there's any pertinent news out there. So I think the main story is there's a couple. So San Fran gave Jimmy G's manager the right to seek out a trade.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, news broke earlier today. So there are only a couple spots that have been really linked to him. I think the last thing that I saw was pretty much Seattle, which is where I would want him to go.
Yeah,
and then Houston.
Yeah.
Houston was floated around. But I like Davis Mills, man. I actually like Davis Mills. I think Jimmy G is probably better. But,
oh yeah, but the Texans are not win now. I don't.
Why put in the money for that when you're not win now?
Yeah.
And then
who are you gonna get at this point that's gonna be more committed? I mean, if he wants to leave, then it's one thing. But
I don't necessarily think that he wants to leave. I think that it's just been he's been put in a weird position where
he's not really they starting or not. I mean,
yeah, and like they put so much draft capital in Trey Lance last year that they're almost pot committed to start this man.
You have to be at this point.
Right. Like, I mean, and then pretty much everything that they've had coming out of camp is that like the dude looks okay.
Yeah.
Although I did retweet, because I saw this on Twitter, a pass that this dude threw. It was wobbly. Like, I have never seen a professional footballer throw such a wobbly pass. And it didn't even go that far. Like, it was pretty sad. Deebo managed to catch it and run it in, but it was underthrown, should have been picked off, wasn't, and Deebo kind of saved it. So, I mean, that's good for him, but
I think it's time that they could let him go and be fine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they should be able to get something out of him, I think.
I don't remember the last time I remember watching Garoppolo play and be like, oh, man, this is like the next greatest quarterback I'm going to watch.
He's definitely not like that level of a talent where you're like, oh, wow, this guy's, you know, a phenomenal player. But, yeah. I mean, I think he's above average. I mean, I think I would rather have him than Marcus Mariota throwing the ball. But, again, they're not in win now mode. No. That's the other problem, too, is who, like, Seattle has to know that bringing him in isn't necessarily going to fix all the problems that they have there, which I'm not saying there's a lot. Their receiving core is pretty good. They have a decent running game. Their defense isn't great anymore, and their offensive line last year wasn't great. So
this might be off topic, but just because we're talking about quarterbacks that you really wouldn't, like, put all your eggs in one basket with, is Kaepernick back or not? Like, wasn't he like, I didn't really follow all the news during the offseason, so like sometimes I might miss a little bit.
No.
But I just remember seeing something that was like, you know, really? Training I think with a couple teams.
He is back. He's on Madden. Yeah.
I think
only the cover.
Yeah. I think Mike Vick has a better chance of coming back and winning the Eagles the Super Bowl than Colin Kaepernick does.
I love playing with Michael Vick.
Oh man, Michael Vick was amazing. Oh my gosh, man, dude was so quick.
But you you only really can get a running touchdown. Like,
oh yeah, 100%.
And then you throw it.
But
it's out of bounds, regardless.
It's almost history repeating itself with like a watered down version of it. And I make this joke all the time where it's like, well, Mom, can we get Mike Vick? And it's like, well, no, son, we have Mike Vick at home. And then it's Jalen Hurts. I mean, you know that format just fits for so many.
That's like their franchise's play style. Though.
Yeah, yeah, you know, no, yeah, like, for sure.
That's offensive to say that about Mike Vick. Jalen Hurts is so much worse.
Oh, don't do my man like that. Come on, dude.
I invested in an offensive line. It doesn't matter.
Come on. We have a great offensive line now. Oh, we're not talking about... Well, all right. We're getting a little bit off topic on this now. So anyway, back to the Jimmy G thing. If they trade him, do you think that he would benefit the Seahawks? I really feel like that's the only viable option there.
I think he definitely would benefit the Seahawks.
Yeah.
I'd say they probably get maybe like 3 or 4 more wins than they would with Drew Lock. Not a lot.
3 or 4, that's it?
More than they would with Drew Lock. So let's say they win like 4 games Drew Lock. I say they win 8.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That division's tough, dude. They're going to lose probably 6 games out of their division alone.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely think so. I mean, they'll lose to the Rams, obviously.
They'll lose to the Rams. They'll lose to the Niners.
I don't know, though. They might lose
to the Cardinals.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Think that I think it's a good idea.
I think they'd get one from the Cardinals, one from the Niners. I don't know. The Niners aren't that good either.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know, man.
They don't make the wild card. They're not winning the division. I guarantee you that.
I put money down right now that they don't get a win off of the Niners.
You heard it here first. How much y'all putting on it?
You were just saying they were good, though. Will they win the division?
No, because the Rams will win the division.
Exactly.
So that doesn't... It's moot, but I do think that they... I don't think that the Seahawks, with Drew Lock, come in second in the division.
No, I think they come in third, but...
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, I just don't think that... I don't think they... Nah, Drew Lock ain't going to do it. Anyway, but I do think that if they brought in Jimmy G, they would have a chance. I mean, a better chance. I mean, the man runs a high-powered offense. He always has. I don't know if I would consider the Patriots when he was there really high-powered, quote-unquote. But
he has a ring. What do you mean? No, I'm kidding.
I like his... If he ends up in Seattle, to make a long story short, I really like that. The other thing I saw, I think it was posted earlier today, was... earlier today. Well, yesterday, based on when this is coming out. But Michael Thomas could be cleared early in camp. Could be.
What do you mean? This is like his last year. Does he even breathe anymore?
I have no idea. Has anybody seen Michael Thomas in person? Hello? Do we know? Do we know that the man is still alive?
Did he get cloned like Kodak Black? Is he here?
Yeah. I mean,
it's the same technology it's they used to bring Tupac back. You
bring
know?
Tupac back.
Yeah, man. It's the same tech. He's actually just a hologram out there.
Tupac back.
I don't know, man. The man hasn't played football in over 2 years.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
Ankle's really hard to recover from.
Well, I mean, and then there was all that drama where they, like, stories were coming out that he wasn't taking his recovery seriously. He wasn't following the protocol that they wanted him to and everything. They made it sound like he was inhibiting his own recovery timeline and stuff. So it's just
pushing himself a little too hard.
I think it was the opposite. I think that he wasn't pushing himself hard enough.
Well, I mean, what do they say? Rest and let it recover. You know, you're not supposed to, like, put work on it, but they're like, hey, we need you. You know, you're on contract. We pay you. Like, get back in the game. But I mean, what's really going to hurt him more is, like, letting it fully heal and, you know, then becoming the best him he could be, or, like, you know, practicing too hard, you know, recovering and doing too many, you know, things and
he gets hurt. Yeah. Like,
First couple games he comes back.
I think I just think that the man has had plenty of time.
I mean, a year and a half, 2 years. At this point, I feel like enough time.
I think you should stay hurt.
Yeah, just don't come back.
Yeah.
Oh man, rip McDougal and his trade for Jameis Winston.
That is not even. Michael Thomas was never a factor in that trade.
Well, he should have been. I mean, I'd be trading on the hope that he comes back and he's what he was. You know,
I'd rather have Chris Olave than Michael Thomas. Bold take right there.
Woof. That is a bold take, sir.
But
I think you're just
practicing still.
No, he should be cleared to practice halfway through camp.
Yeah,
that's gonna be rough. I didn't know this. Breece Hall officially is a holdout.
Who?
Breece Hall.
Why? What was his contract? His second round.
They haven't given him. They hadn't given him his contract. That news came out 2 days ago, and then it says that he's been in the building all morning. I guess this is right after that news came out.
He's on strike.
Yeah. For a better contract. Like, man, you haven't even done anything.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry that you got drafted in the second round.
Yeah.
What do you expect? You're a running back.
You're a running back. No one's really trying to pay an unproven running back like this. Also, this is one of the weakest draft classes that we've had in recent history. So
he did sign the contract, though. He is back.
Is he? Because I haven't seen anything saying that he signed the contract. I just see that he was holding out and that they have a contract ready for him.
No, I believe I saw he did it pretty much right when training camp started, though. So, he probably was holding out.
Maybe. This is just news from 2 days ago. If he's signed within that, I don't have that updated. So, sorry about that. I think the last thing that I would want to touch on is 260-pound... Leonard Fournette.
Oh yeah, no, he's fine. He's honestly fine.
You think so?
Garrett Blunt play. He's fine, dude.
Well, do you remember Eddie Lacy back in the day?
That's
for the
different, though. No, he's fat.
What?
No, Eddie Lacy's fat. Leonard Fournette's not fat.
Do you have any pictures to prove that he's not fat?
I did see some pictures, though. I mean,
you have pictures of him right now. Okay, the man's not fat.
No, he's not fat because I was looking at the
videos. Muscle. It's all muscle.
It's muscle, dude.
See, I don't know. There's no way that this is such a story of these.
Him in training camp. Hiding underneath like a little layer of fat. Like he might look pudgy, you know, compared to other players. But
I don't know. I just know that Twitter ripped him a new one over it. Like,
imagine being hit by him, though, or like him trying to run through you.
But it's not 250. It's 260.
This is. I mean, who knows?
Leonard Fournette is not 260 pounds of muscle. No. No, I'm just saying that he's not. You're not hitting 260 pounds at the size that he is and not have it be. Yeah, come on, dude. That's not all muscle.
No way.
That's
how tall is he? He's like what? Like
he's 6 foot.
Yeah, I was gonna say he's like 5'11", 6 foot for real.
He's only 6 foot, dude. What?
Yeah, like that. That's a lot of muscle.
That would have to be a lot of muscle. This man would have to be a tank. How do you get a brick house? He's a brick.
Maybe he was planning on losing.
He's mighty. He's letting it all hang out.
You have to gain weight to transfer it into muscle, though. Sometimes, sometimes that's
strategic.
Yeah.
He was strategically eating them burgers.
You know. What I do to be Leonard Fournette.
No, it's a nice spot to be now.
That's what you're saying? No
he's
way.
Yoked, dude.
I
mean,
I've seen the videos
who's
like on training camp.
Fat, dude? Look,
he's not
look
fat.
He does not look fat. I've seen him.
Are you sure that this is?
Look at the videos of him in training camp. Like he's not Eddie Lacy.
He could be in the UFC. What are you talking about?
This is what he's saying is fat.
Let me see.
Leonard, he's not even no, fat. Bro, half of that is like padding and stuff, dude. Yeah, like
look at his arm, like. This man is not like
Leonard Fournette fires back on Twitter at Overweight Report. All I'm saying is this came out. This is an official report.
I didn't know we had a weigh-in. You know, I didn't know.
Oh yeah, no. Hey, it's
no, you get weighed, but you don't have like weight classes. You know, it's like, oh well, you're too big to be in your position. You know what I mean?
So. It's the off season, man. We're gonna talk about anything. I don't know, dude. This is one day ago. I'm looking at him here. I wouldn't say that he's fat, but you can definitely see some fat on that torso, dude. This picture right here, that's fat on his gut. That is not muscle.
It's disrespectful compared to Eddie Lacy. That is just awful. Yeah.
That is a little bit, that's a little bit rough, but I mean, that's the joke. But I'm saying, like, I'm looking at what looks like a beer gut. Like, I mean, I'm sure it's a very solid beer. It's a keg. I wouldn't want to punch it. Yeah. But I just think that story's funny.
He's about two cheeseburgers away from being a tight end.
He's about two cheeseburgers away from being fat Eddie Lacy.
Cheeseburger Eddie.
Fat Eddie Cheeseburger Lacy. Yeah.
Dude, Eddie Lacy runs a 4.64. I'm not doing that. Not anymore though. He's probably runs like a 6.
Oh man, I remember I loved Eddie Lacy before he put on all that weight and just ended up doing nothing his last like season in the game. That was an unfortunate a fortunate decline for that man. All right, well, I think that's enough for the news and notes. Let's.
I'm just looking at a couple photos of Eddie Lacy. Right now.
The man was large and in charge, but not so much in charge.
Me and him probably could be in the same position. Like, I should be where he is. Jeez.
Oof.
You need a couple mil, man.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what?
I think you gotta get up your conditioning a lot.
Maybe if we split the carries 50-50.
How many times do you think you can run through a 260-pound tackle?
Depends on how much muscle he has on him, obviously.
I mean, I'm just saying, it takes a lot of muscle to move that fat, too. So you gotta move that weight, keep it moving. But yeah, let's get into the meat and potatoes of the episode. Let's start breaking down this here NFC North Division. Let's start with the Chicago Bears. It's right up there. Justin Fields, like I already said, dude, I'm excited for his second year. It's always fun for, you know, to watch a second year QB come out. We had a couple last year that are worth keeping our eyes on. I think Justin Fields in some of his starts last year did pretty well. Not amazing, but I mean, he showed he can scramble. He showed he has decent arm strength. He also showed that him and Darnell Mooney have a decent connection. So,
that's very true.
It is a tough division. The Vikings defense isn't what it was anymore, though. But the Packers defense has gotten better, I would argue. Mm-hmm. And then I think that the Detroit Lions defense is at best middle of the pack. So yeah. I don't think that they're going to really struggle so much in their division. What's going to hold them back is how many points they can put on the board. And with that offensive line, it's going to be tough. But I mean, I can see a path for them being okay. Obviously, I'm not calling for them to win the division by any stretch or means, but I like Justin Fields this year, man. I like him a lot. You guys have any thoughts on old Fieldsy boy?
I want to hit you some thoughts.
Yeah. Hit me with them thoughts, dude.
Ohio State quarterback. That's all I got to say. Not good in the NFL. Never transitions well. I mean, before Justin Fields, this RIP, Dwayne Haskins, just...
That's not even fair.
That's not right. Okay.
That's not fair, dude. Come on now.
There's other Ohio State quarterbacks that... just did awful in the NFL. Who was a four Dwayne Haskins?
Dude, I don't know, man.
There was Terrell Pryor. Bad.
Oh, man. Dumpster fire Terrell Pryor? Come on.
I mean, he still finished top 12, Justin Fields. So, I mean, it's unpredictable, really.
He finished top 12? I don't know. What are you looking at?
I mean, I use mostly Fantasy Pros, you know.
Last four games. And,
you're only looking at the last four games?
Still, you know, it's still something to look at. Let's see. You know, like, if you can come up from being, you know, like, doing poorly throughout the entire, does that not show growth?
Well, he also didn't start for most of the year and stuff, so.
He was injured, so.
Yeah, he got a little banged up. That's when, Andy Dalton came back in and stuff. So, I've got him finishing last year at 31 for the entire season. But again, didn't start for the majority of the season. But he did average, in the games that he started, a whopping 11.4 points per game. So, but I do think that second year, I think he'll utilize his talents a little bit more. They've got a new offensive mind in there. Got rid of Matt Nagy. I I think that's that needed to happen.
That was yeah.
That needed to happen
a
so
long
much.
Time ago.
Yeah. So I think that that's going to be good for him. I think, you know, he has the tools. I like. Does he have the best receiving corps? No, but I do love me some Darnell Mooney, man. I think you can get a great value on old Darnell Mooney there. And will he be a number one wide receiver? No, but he could be a strong number two for your team.
I think he's a Absolutely. Good. I mean, he's a wide receiver one in Chicago, obviously.
Oh yeah, he's the wide receiver one in Chicago, hands
and that's,
down. But
that's always something, you know. I feel like right. that's a good pick.
I mean, the problem for him is that the people behind him, the people that are going to be on the field with him at the same time, don't really need to be covered that much. I mean, Byron Pringle popped off every now and again for a catch or two a game with the Chiefs. Guy, he's listed as their wide receiver too, so
yeah,
he'll be on the field. Yeah.
That's awful. That's rough for yeah. Justin Fields.
You know, I mean, they just spent so much. I mean, they've been constantly trying to come back from the, who was it that they had there? Trubisky. For all that they gave up for Trubisky, like, they've just been trying and trying to get out from under that shadow for the longest time. So, they have Darnell Mooney. Really like Darnell Mooney. Then we just said they have Byron Pringle. He's a bit of a gadget player. I wouldn't consider him. I wouldn't draft Byron Pringle. Basically, what I'm saying.
Not at all.
Not drafting him. Not drafting Velus Jones Jr. either. Honestly, do you guys know anything?
I might.
Who is that?
I might, yeah. You know,
is that
I
a rookie?
Kemet, yeah.
I'm sorry. Oh, Kemet. Yeah, definitely.
I might. You could depends get, on where you know I am. I don't see me having him like as the first choice. So. You know,
you could get
for whatever reason if he's
you get Cole Kmet real late.
Yeah, exactly.
And he can prove out to be a value. So yeah,
but
for sure.
Other than that, yeah, I definitely wouldn't see like you know Jones Jr. being like anywhere.
And we already kind of talked about Darnell Mooney or not Darnell Mooney. I'm sorry, David Montgomery.
Oh yeah.
Oh, DM and DM. Hey, look at that.
I'm picking up Montgomery.
I think he's a great. I think he's a great value. I think he's going to do awesome as long as he can stay healthy. I wish that they, I stress this every time we talk about any team all the time, put money and talent into your offensive line. For gosh sakes, come on guys, put that talent into your offensive line. Do you want to give your quarterback more time? You don't even have to have, you can have a mediocre quarterback. If you have an offensive line that can hold people away from him, that man can do some work. So
I think they're also like changing a lot of things.
Oh, I think that this is definitely this isn't a compete now year for them by any stretch of the means. Like it's going to be
I get like 2 years.
It's not rebuilding necessarily, but it is a step towards
new front office. I mean, you know, they're going to try out new things.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully it works, but you know, I feel like
their whole identity has had to change now too, because they used to be the defensive powerhouse and they kind of got rid of all their defensive powerhouses and now they're weak there and they're not strong on offense either, so they're kind of in that weird no man's land of we're average.
Who are we, you
know what I mean? What's our identity? Are we going to go out there and stop every play and then, you know, let our offense do what it can, or are we going to let our offense lead the way and hope that our defense can do some stuff?
Rebuilding years, though, do you really give a team? And it's like, oh, they're still rebuilding.
You have to put a certain amount of onus on the coaches that were there. And I do think that Matt Nagy was a huge problem. Yeah. Same way I view Adam Gase when he was still coaching. Adam Gase was terrible.
Sometimes you have an old school mindset. It doesn't always help out.
I don't even think it was so much old school mindset for him. I think it was he thought that he was the smartest man in the room and that he was designing these plays that nobody would see through what he was trying to go for. And then
I don't understand how he had it.
Two seconds into the play, this man, it's blown up. Yeah. Like they already know.
The head coaching jobs he had, I don't understand.
It's absolutely ridiculous. so what do you guys think that the over under for this team is?
Seven. No, six. Definitely six and a half.
I was going to say, I would definitely go six.
Six and a half. That's what it is. Look at you, Will. You got this pulled up over there? I always feel like you have this pulled up.
I'm just a little optimistic. I'm like, six.
Six and a half.
I'm realistic. And I'm from Chicago, but I know it is what it is.
We're going to go under.
You think they're going to go under?
Go under, yeah. They get two wins off the Lions, and you know, we'll see where else
that goes. Two wins off the Lions. Maybe a win off the Vikings at home.
Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be three, and then it just kind of depends on who else they play.
Four more? I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's tough. That's real tough. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would mash the under with any, like, strong.
I would conviction. Say mash the under.
Well, hey, you heard it here first. Mash that under, guys. Do you guys have any other thoughts on this team?
I mean,
we already talked about David Montgomery. I do like Khalil Herbert as a really strong handcuff. If you prefer to draft that way, if you draft him, go ahead and grab Khalil Herbert, because if he ends up spot starting, I think he has a week winning type of upside if he does.
Yeah.
So it does suck though to tie up your bench with a.
With a backup RB.
With a backup RB.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't like to load up my fantasy with the teams that I actually like, because then it's like a
double. It's a double dagger.
Let down, yeah.
Double dagger in the heart, man.
So I'm, you know, like I said, I'll pick up Montgomery, but I'm definitely not going to go with Fields. You know, I might, depending on how late it goes with Kemet, but yeah, it really just picks. It's just Montgomery for me. You know, like that's really the highlight of what I'm looking forward to seeing from like that team. But I'm sure that. I'm sure that they're going to rebuild well.
Yeah. You know, it's just another year. And but I think that there's fantasy points to be had there, which is what's important for this show. So,
yeah.
Let's move on to the Detroit Lions. Oh. Yeah, this is a rough team.
I think they have promise.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll do better than they did last year. What do you think? We'll just go into that right now. What do you think their over-under right now is?
4.5. Wait, no, 5.5, I think. 5.5?
I don't know what I think it is and what I want it to be. You're a little different. I mean, four.
Four. It's 6.5.
Ah, see.
6.5?
Yeah.
I'd probably hit that under.
Under, yeah.
Yeah, I'd hit that under. Yeah, I'd hit that under pretty hard. yeah. Jared Goff, he is what he is, man. We've seen this man for years.
I think he's a beast, to be honest. Like, I do.
A beast.
Like, I think he's a beast. I might, because I also like the Rams, so I might this just man, be.
Yeah,
know.
that's a homer pick in you if I've ever heard
opinions,
one.
Personal opinions, you know.
That's
you have to have options when you're on the field as well. So like that's rough. Overall,
he's a definition of mediocre.
You're telling me that he didn't have options when he was on the Rams with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and
Todd Gurley. Do I think
that
Gurley? They should have given him a little bit more time to like come into his own? Yeah. Absolutely. Like,
yeah.
But well, you know, that's me.
Yeah, Sean McVay too. Coaching, like, dude could have, dude should have done
just
better.
Breathe. Yeah.
He also like in the heart. One of the seasons of Hard Knocks that he was on. This man, I think, is actually going to be. This is his third season of Hard Knocks that he's going to be on, or something like that.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because they're doing the Detroit Lions.
That's hilarious.
So I'm pretty sure this is his third season of Hard Knocks that he's going to be on.
Hey.
He says some dumb things on camera. I definitely saw that he said something like, "Well, we don't know where the sun's going to rise."
I think that's why me and him get along so well.
Yeah,
dude. No, he did not.
Yes, he did. Jared Goff doesn't believe that the earth rotates flat. The sun. No, he doesn't believe that the earth rotates
pretty
the sun
sure
and that
rises,
we know.
Rises from the east, yeah.
Yeah. See, you're already smarter than this college educated NFL QB.
Where did he go? He went to...
I learned that from Shanghai Knights. He went to Shanghai Noons.
Yeah,
he went to Cal.
Yeah. That's rough. Hey, man, I mean, you know...
Them California schools.
Football, just because you go to school on a football scholarship doesn't mean you're getting the best education. I don't know what to tell you, but the man has some peculiar thoughts on things.
But still,
I can't wait to watch him in this year's Hard Knocks and see the things that this man says.
Even dumber.
I think he's even dumber than that. Like,
but seriously, I mean, Jared Goff, I mean, like, come on, I mean, 11th.
Who's your favorite player right now on the Lions? Is it Jared Goff?
Because his name is pretty funny. But, know, I definitely would have to go with pass first. I couldn't even go with any of the receivers. It would definitely have to be DeAndre Swift.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would say he's my favorite, but if he does what he did at the end of last year, that man, if he continues that pace that he was on, that's going to be a good year for this man. I'm confused why they have... See, they went out and they got DJ Chark and Jameson Williams. Yeah. I feel like those were wastes of bring-ons, because I think Josh Reynolds actually showed that he has some game last year. He could have been way better. They didn't necessarily need to go get DJ Chark, who had what, one good season?
I'd say DJ Chark is probably the stretch right there. But he was a 1 year deal though. He's a proven deal.
Yeah, he's a proven deal.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
He's inconsistent, but I see Chark doing all right.
Yeah.
I
mean,
offense, honestly. TJ Hawkinson's good.
If he can stay healthy. Healthy's his big thing.
Yeah, but they got Jamal Williams too. I think this is a pretty good offense. And their line's not too bad because they signed a lot of people. Like, they got Penny Sewell was a really good pick last year.
Yeah.
I mean, that was great.
Oh, yeah.
So I think their line's not bad either. I mean, this could be a really good team. Like
Jameson sneaky. Williams? Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, it depends if he's healthy by the time season starts, because he did tear his ACL, I think.
He's still pretty young, too, but...
Yeah.
Fast recovery. He might miss a few games. Who really knows, but...
I'm out on him. I'm out on him. I'm out on DJ Chark. If you can't get Amon-Ra St. Brown or DeAndre Swift, I'm... And... Ugh. See, I was really big on TJ Hockenson last year, and while he finished okay... And I can't be mad about where he finished based on where I drafted him. I got good value out of him, but he's not a league winner by any means. Or a week winner, really, on most weeks.
Depends. I mean, when you have Jared Goff or Jared Off as your freaking...
That's good.
You have good games, you have bad games.
Yeah. That man had a lot of disappointing bad games.
He's got a lot of potential. Like, I think that's what I look at most is like, you could literally be the underdog and then...
Well, TJ Hockenson's going the sixth tight end off the board.
That's reasonable to me.
You think that's reasonable?
Yeah.
I mean, tight end's one of those weird things. Like, if you don't invest early, you might as well wait until the end. I wouldn't take anybody in that no man's land. Dude's going 60th overall. Sixth round, dude. I'm loading up on wide receiver there. I'm not taking a tight end there, so... That's a little bit too rich for my blood. We'll see where he falls in my drafts. But, I mean, I do like him as a talent. I think he'll be good.
Might be a good trade later on if you have him.
Second year for Jared Goff in the system and what they just brought in a new... Didn't they just bring in a new coach? Or do they still have...
Last year was his first year.
But they got rid of their offensive coordinator, though, right? They got rid of guy from the Chargers.
You're talking about, oh God.
Oh, man.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, they got rid of him, though, right? I feel like. No. Okay. It's not that far back. God, it's going to bother me. Like, it's not a huge deal, but, like, it's going to bother me so much. Anthony Lynn.
Oh, dang. Okay.
Anthony Lynn was their offensive coordinator last year. And, that's why I was super big on Jamal Williams being their RB2 because he liked using a tandem kind of situation.
Yeah. No, I think so. Jamal Williams got hurt last year, too, a little bit, I think.
Yeah, he got banged up a bit. But they got rid of him, so...
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's rough.
I don't think he was the problem. I think there's no talent on that offense. This year is like their year to me.
I don't know about this is their year, but I mean they'll be better than they were last year.
They'll be more, you know, in
still
sync.
How are you gonna say this is their year when we're saying we're gonna smash the under of 6.5 wins?
But I think they do better than the Bears. Like, I'm smashing the under for the Bears sure.
I don't know. I'm on the fence about that one. I'd probably just avoid that for right now, but I would take the under on the Detroit Lions. Do you guys have anything else to throw down about the Lions, their team?
Building the defense, picked up Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah. Jeff Okuda, that's pretty nice.
Do something.
Yeah. We'll see. I love watching them on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
It's always fun. Their games are always interesting. There's always something weird that happens. I know it's a little bit, you know, it's fun.
It's Matt Stafford, but yeah.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah, I bet they wish that they still had that guy. All right, cool. Well, we'll move on. We won't waste any more time on there. Let's move to the Green Bay Packers. This one's pretty easy. Aaron Rodgers. Hey, man. He's back.
Yes, sir.
Chilling like a villain.
For how long is he back,
though? At least this season.
I mean, the whole season, hopefully.
Yeah. I don't think... Okay, so what do you guys think? Do you think Jordan Love ever actually starts for the Packers?
I forgot he existed. Oh, my God.
Do you think he starts for the Packers at any point in time in his career?
Isn't that what they do? I mean, they have you sit under a really well-known...
Yeah, but I think you know, this year...
Learn from your...
This would be the year if they kept up that same line of thought. This would be the year that he should be starting.
But...
And he's not.
If they could get Aaron Rodgers for one more season, why would they give that up?
They're gonna have to like franchise tag the man next season to have him start.
Jordan Love?
You know?
Yeah, are you really franchise tagging Jordan Love, paying him top five QB money?
No, the average of
top five QB money?
Hey, if Aaron Rodgers is, you know... treating this guy like this is his protege.
No, I don't think he is.
You know,
no, that's I don't know, that's where I think the fallacy comes in is that you're assuming that Aaron Rodgers is actually trying to train this guy. I don't think that's the case. They're not friends at all. Aaron Rodgers was upset that this man got brought in. He was upset that they didn't draft a wide receiver with the pick that they went up for this guy.
First
like,
round?
He
that was
no,
crazy.
No, he leaves, but at the same time, isn't that what happened with him as well?
Yeah. So no, I get where you're coming from,
under,
but I'm...
He was put under a wing, and
but
then
he knew
he
it was happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't like it, though.
He's older.
I don't think... This is a hot take. I don't think Jordan Love starts a season
ever
for the Packers.
Oh,
unless, I think I mean yeah, maybe unless yeah, there's some
happens.
Weird injury in the preseason,
or they are just
he will not be.
And they're just like, let's keep Rodgers healthy, and we're gonna start Love. You know, I mean, like
he will not be a starting QB for the Packers without an injury to Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
and even after Rodgers is gone, I think Jordan Love will be gone. That was one of the most egregious and wasted picks of the last 5 years.
Could you see them really having him there and then right if Aaron Rodgers leaves after the season, letting him go as well and then starting completely fresh with someone who doesn't know the offense, who doesn't know his, you know, his targets or anybody else's talent really personally on the team? I mean, I feel like he's, you know, still at training camp. You know, he's still working with them. So that would be their best option is to then put Love in.
Oh, 100
as his replacement. So I don't think they're going to let him go.
100%. I think that if they don't do it this year and Aaron Rodgers decides to actually not come back next year, I think they're going into rebuild mode. They don't have any good wide receivers anymore. They have two running backs that are good. They have two good running backs, Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon. Both are great. I think it would behoove them to, if they don't have Aaron Rodgers come back, trade those guys, get the value that they can out of them, start that rebuilding mode. Get those picks for the future. Next year won't be great. And then you draft a QB. You draft a QB in next year's draft if you can. Trade them to get extra draft capital so you can pick up one of those guys coming into the league next year. And then, bam, you're in rebuilding mode. Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate for such a historic franchise that's always pretty much been good. But,
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is 38 now. So, I mean, he's... You know, it's one of those things where I think what might happen is, if anything, if they don't put Love, you know, as their starting QB after this season, then he might just be impatient. You know, like he's not going to want to, you know, do another two seasons.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I mean, because Jordan Love's a man, too. He wants to get played.
Exactly.
He wants to pay.
He doesn't
want
to get old sitting on the sidelines, right. You know, like he wants his opportunity.
100%. The other thing is,
I think they're just going to rely on their defense this year. It's going to be really, really weird for Aaron Rodgers.
They put a lot into their defense, too.
Yeah, it's going to be really weird for Aaron Rodgers.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I think that their running backs are good values for where they're going, because they're going to run the clock out. You know, they'll throw.
You guys still have Alan Lazard. Like, come on,
dude. Oh, come on.
Amazing.
Alan Lazard is amazing.
We'll see.
Get out of here.
So, I mean, you have.
I would have preferred them to keep.
Seasons. He's definitely going
to
put on a show.
I would have preferred them to keep MVS and ship out.
Oh, yeah, I know. Me too. MVS went to the Chiefs,
yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to do great. I think Aaron Rodgers will still.
Where so
he's Aaron Rodgers.
I have Aaron Rodgers in 6 point at QB5, and 4 point at QB6.
Okay.
So
yeah, no, he was going like later than he usually does, but like still not that bad.
Average draft position for him right now is looking like
it's like what, 80?
Let's see. Let's just do QB. He is he's going late. He's the 12th overall QB. He's going 93rd overall.
Yeah, 93rd.
Ninth round. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah,
I mean,
I hate drafting quarterbacks.
The people that are drafting right now are people that are in the industry and stuff that are.
Why'd you
that
look
are,
at me when you say that?
Hey.
I can't help
myself. My man's favorite thing to say is it's a pass first league. You know, you got to get the guy that's throwing the passes. You got to get the guy that's catching the passes, right?
If I get Alan Lazard and Aaron Rodgers,
right.
I will be completely ecstatic, but I don't know if I'd pick Rodgers as my first.
But just to throw it out there,
I don't know if I'd pick Rodgers.
In the Dynasty League, Will, you know, I traded Aaron Rodgers and Kamara.
Yeah,
Alvin Kamara for Russell Wilson and Joe Mixon.
How'd that work out for you?
I think Kamara.
Well, this is the first year that I've gone into that, so we'll see how it works out. And I think it's going to work out pretty well because Russell Wilson has way better weapons than Aaron Rodgers has now.
Okay, but Brad didn't know Davante Adams was going to get traded, though. That was pretty crazy.
There were rumors out there that he was going to get moved.
Franchise tag him, though.
No, there were rumors out there he wasn't going to show up and all this stuff. Like, this is why I made that trade, was because I had a feeling that he wasn't going to be there.
I didn't think he would actually.
I'm sorry that we weren't doing this show back then, because I would have said this on that show, and then our listeners could have reaped the benefit of trading him before. You know, that happened. To be fair, in that Dynasty League, I still have Davante Adams. So
that is true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
So that was the thing. Like, I didn't want, you know.
So Davante Adams could have sat out the whole season. You would have been screwed, maybe.
Exactly. Yeah. So either way, it was better to just get rid of Rodgers and bring in a younger. It's a Dynasty League. I brought in a younger QB with better weapons surrounding him in a tougher division where they're going to have to score a lot more. If you're telling me that... six out of the games that they're going to play are against good teams, that means they're going to have to score more to win. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is in a position where he's going to have to ball out of control in his division.
I couldn't consciously give up Aaron Rodgers. I really didn't think he was going to come back. Like, so.
I've never seen a bad Aaron Rodgers.
Dude. That's what I'm saying. Like, I couldn't consciously give him up to try out this experiment, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
the other side of that trade is getting rid of Alvin Kamara, who is probably going to be suspended for the first six games of this season.
Yeah.
So
they're the same. Joe Mixon and Alvin Kamara are the same age. I'm still taking Alvin Kamara over Joe Mixon.
Yeah. I mean, I think talent-wise, but again, I'm in win this season. I'm in win this season, so I can hit my three-peat, and then I can hit that rebuilding
I would run. Take Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, any older...
I have Russell Wilson as my third QB in 4-point, and I have him as my second QB in 6-point.
Whoa.
Because I have him running for 468 yards.
I think that's bold.
I have him rushing for 468 yards with three rushing touchdowns. I have him throwing for 407 completions, 4,800 yards, and 41 touchdowns. Based on his completion rating, based on his touchdown percentage, that's where that puts him. That's way higher than what I was able to put Rodgers at, even despite him being better, because Rodgers doesn't rush like that. Rodgers doesn't rush like that, though.
He doesn't.
That's the thing, is this is fantasy, where rushing gets you a lot more points as a QB.
That's six and,
if you throw for 10 yards... You are getting beat by the QB that rushes for 10 yards.
You are.
Because that's 1 point versus not even a half a point.
As QBs get older, though, I don't think Rush is going to run.
I don't think
it. I think he's still young enough. He rushed last year.
He has, I mean, he definitely has Lazard, and he has Sammy Watkins, which I think that thinking he's going to be a big part of the team, they're definitely going to put it in his hands.
Sammy Watkins hasn't done anything.
He's a good first week wide receiver.
Yeah. Draft Sammy Watkins. Play him the first week. Oh. Let him blow up for you, and then trade that dude to whatever team is willing to give you anything
but
for him.
We don't know how if this is what Aaron Rodgers believes to be possibly his last season.
Right.
And he's not going to be out of pocket. You know.
I mean, he's still going to play. I mean, he's a competitor. The man is going to play, and he's going to go out and ball and try to win. I don't disagree with that at all.
Watkins been traded in the last few years. I mean, like
every year he's on a new team in the last 4 years.
Exactly. So
Chiefs, the Ravens,
and it's not like he hasn't played with good.
The Packers.
It's not like he hasn't played with good QBs.
Lamar.
Patrick
Mahomes.
Yeah, I know. Just like the top five.
I don't know.
And Aaron Rodgers. I mean, like they're okay.
That man is so lucky. Now that we're on this topic, this has got to be the luckiest wide receiver in the NFL to have played with Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Pat Mahomes, and now Aaron Rodgers. Are you kidding me?
But that, I mean, hey, sometimes you could be having.
How's he still suck?
If your quarterback doesn't see you as the one that they look to in those big plays, then you might not get the opportunity. You know?
Yeah, he's got 1 week of good big plays. That's the first week of the year, and then
he's a wild card for me.
You're fair. We're giving the man a bunch of trash. That's fair. If he stays healthy and he actually does build that rapport with Aaron Rodgers, Sammy Watkins has shown in the past that he does have some skill. That is a huge... huge wild card gamble bet. Let me see.
I think it's his ego that where, he's like, if I'm not getting the ball, like, I'm not caring.
Where is this man? Where is this man being drafted?
Kentucky gentleman needs to be guzzled down my throat.
Yeah. Sometimes I hate you, McCoy. Sammy Watkins is the 88th wide receiver off the board. He is basically undrafted.
I
233 overall. This man.
I will draft him and Aaron Rodgers instead of my first choice, and I think he'll still do well.
Again, yes. I'm putting more faith in Rodgers. I'm saying that put him on your bench with the last pick of your draft.
Way down on the bench.
Put him on your bench with the last pick of your draft. Start him week one, and then trade that man as soon as you can.
I'm going to be so mad. But, like, he'll sit on my bench for a few weeks, and then he'll have like maybe a good game week two.
See, that's the problem. You don't want to be in that trap with those players that are on the fence where you're like, well, this man has exactly. Like, I don't want to. You play him 1 week, he does terrible. You don't play him, then he does great.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Play him week one, get those points he's going to get you, and then trade them away for whatever you can get off of it.
Everybody's got a different play style. I feel like mine might be a little bit more risky. Pass
first. Pass first. That's what your play style is. So we already talked about Sammy Watkins just now. The other two guys, we got Alan Lazard and Christian Watson.
Randall Cobb there too, kind
of. Randall Cobb is there, but he's not listed as one of their starters right now. I think because he's still kind of, he's not listed as questionable, but I think he's still kind of dealing with an injury that he sustained at the end of last year. So I think he's still coming back from that. I think it's really funny that Amari Rodgers was their like highly drafted wide receiver last year, isn't even a starter this year.
No,
he's got Christian Watson ahead of him. So that's
pretty interesting.
They're just terrible at drafting wide receivers.
No.
Oh, yeah. They're awful.
Considering that, you know, they have Aaron Rodgers.
They need to go out and hire whoever the scout for the Steelers.
I think it's a money thing. Yeah. Like I feel like they just can't spend the money on. Oh,
it's not.
Somebody.
I mean, it's not about that. When you're drafting, they just always choose to not draft them. And like there are still valuable wide receivers on the board late in the draft. They just don't land on them.
That's how superstars are made. You don't have to be first, second, third, fourth.
I mean,
Devontae
Adams,
you know,
was
you've
great.
Got Aaron Rodgers, you know, throwing DK. You the ball, dude.
That's pretty crazy. Imagine DK and Aaron Rodgers.
Well, to be fair, we could have had DK on the Eagles as well, and we went with was it Arthego Whiteside? Is that
yes,
year?
Yes, JJ Arthego Whiteside. That hurts so bad.
I cry every time.
What could have been?
Mm. Who doesn't draft DK? That's crazy.
yeah, that's absolutely wild. And so the wide receiver position there, it's a mess overall. That's a mess. That's why it's like I don't want to count Aaron Rodgers out. It's hard to count Aaron Rodgers out. The man gets it done.
Yeah.
But these have to be the worst weapons that this man has played with in the last 6 years.
And like I said, that's what makes superstars. When you really somebody can do something, and then they really just are given that opportunity to show what somebody's confidence in them could do and build, then that's how superstars are made.
Sure,
you know what I mean?
No, I dig it. I mean, if you take that shot on Adam Lazard, Sammy Watkins is basically free. Christian Watson, you never know. I mean, sometimes you got to fill your bench with those lottery tickets. That's how you make your way to the championship. One of them pays off, and then bam, you're on your way.
There it is.
And then we could pretty much already talked about Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon.
Run first for sure.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of both of them on the field at the same time to kind of help fill that wide receiver hole that they have. But I love me some Aaron Jones, especially at the value that he's at right now. AJ Dillon is. If you want to call him a handcuff, that quote unquote handcuff, I dig it, but the man could be a solid RB2. Low end.
Pricey handcuffed.
Yeah, he's a really pricey handcuff. I think that he's going to have games where he does really well. Yeah. So he'll have games where he should have been the starter. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think that the over under for this team is before we move on?
Oh, man.
9.5.
Whew. I don't know, man. 9.5?
Yeah, 9.5.
I feel like I've been pretty generous with mine. I mean, look what I said about the Lions. I don't even know how my brain came up with that. I feel like I'm just way too optimistic.
Emotionless.
I'd have to do like a
motionless
eight and a half or an eight for sure.
You guys are so off.
Was it 11 and a half?
11 and a half.
Damn.
Like I said, I'm too optimistic.
So you're smashing the under on that? You think that they're going to hit the under?
I don't know. I mean,
you said 9.5. If that's where you feel, that's under 11.5.
I was thinking 10.
I couldn't hit the over on that.
I can't hit the over either.
I absolutely can't hit the over.
I'm saying that we had 10 wins.
Yeah, so that's the under. I mean,
yeah,
you know. It's the thing is, though, is that if their defense is as good as I think it's going to be, I think they have a decent shot to win a good amount of games. I mean, Aaron Rodgers just has to be a game manager at that point.
They go 11-6, which
he can. He has shown that.
Wait, no, they
got to
go 12-5. They're
12-5.
No, I'm not smashing the over.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough, man. I'm not taking that over on that. Yeah, that's wild, dude. I mean,
throw your bets.
2022-2023 NFL win total odds, man. That's what I'm looking at right now. So, do you guys have any other? I mean, we didn't really talk about Robert Tonyan. That's another guy that you could look at late round, but I really think that he's more of a leave him on the waiver wire.
It's pretty established, yeah.
Pick him up for specific games.
Yeah.
Games where tight end might be favored. That or
hopefully
if you really,
back,
really like depending on the way that your lineup is set, if you feel really good about your starters and stuff, you can pick him up and stash him. I don't like having two tight ends on my roster at any given time, but if you pick him up and it turns out that he's one of the main targets out of the receiving, the quote unquote receiving options, not counting running back. I mean, the man's going
to
put up points.
It's just hard to see him being drafted when you have,
that's
you know,
point.
Jones is an option.
Right.
I still think Watkins is an option. You know, when I really wouldn't put him in a draft. So.
Yeah.
I mean, that is smart, what it is, though, because, I mean, Aaron Rodgers really does just spam the tight end like Jimmy Graham that one year. Well, yeah, he never really.
I mean, he's not going to be the next Gronk.
Not at all. Aside.
He might get some touches. I mean, he'll do all right.
On the side of the ESPN website that we're looking at the depth charts for this for, there is an NFL news spot, and it says, here's why Jennifer Lopez's marriage could be good news for Tom Brady. What?
That sounds great, man.
Is it because Giselle's going to make more money? Is that what's up?
Hang on.
That means he won't have to work as hard. For Brady's reputation.
She makes like double what he makes.
Don't pull up a video. I don't want to see a video.
That's nuts.
Lopez married Affleck in 2022. Love Don't Cost a Thing series. Hard Rock. What does this have to do? They're saying that the last time J-Lo and Affleck were together was when the Wolverines were co-national championships with Nebraska.
Oh, so that's superstition time.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, man. Some reporter out there really had nothing going on
that's
that day. And they were like, oh, yep, let me bust something out real quick.
He's got a deadline to meet for sure.
Yeah.
That's quick.
Yeah. I mean, hey, it got me to click. I was like, what does this have to do with anything? And bam. Hey, and I also learned something. I mean, the last time J-Lo and Ben Affleck were together, the Wolverines were co-champions.
Yeah. I saw something funny with J-Lo the other day where she like was walking around her neighborhood and she was like talking to some guy and she's like,
oh, I saw that.
This is my house where I used to live. And he's like, who are you?
She was like, I'm J-Lo.
And he's like, who's that? No.
Yeah.
She's like, I used to live in this house. He's like, so? Like,
she just smiles at the camera and then just like keeps on walking through the neighborhood.
It was an older guy, but I feel like that would be her purpose to why he should know who she is.
Dude, how do you not know? Like, how do you not hear J-Lo and just be like, okay, who's J-Lo? I don't know your music necessarily, but I at least know the name.
I'm just walking by. I used to live here.
You haven't watched South Park. You haven't watched any movie. Like, she had a terrible
TV at all.
Yeah, exactly. That neighborhood was kind of rough. They might not.
Did she just do a halftime show not too long ago, too? She killed it.
Are you talking about
Beyonce? Or
no, J-Lo is doing the halftime.
You'd have to vet that for me. I don't have any idea.
The Super Bowl?
Oh, you know, it was Shakira.
Yeah, okay. I don't know why. In my head, I was thinking back to Janet Jackson, and I was like, dude, that was forever ago. What are we talking about?
Still immortalized Janet, though.
Who even is Janet Jackson? I'm kidding.
Whoa. Oh, my God. I got real.
You got the man. You made him double take. This guy. Who? I'm J-Lo. Who?
Who are you, Janet Jackson?
Yeah. I don't know.
Live here.
Oh my
god.
So
I'd be like, sweet and low, get out of here. We're a Splenda family up in here. Get out of here. All right.
That's wild.
Yeah, weird. That's a fun aside. Last team. We're on the last team for this. The Minnesota Vikings. Got Kirk Cousins again. I think the big news for them is that they brought in a new offensive coordinator. New head coach too, right? Am I wrong on that? Mike Zimmer's out. Yeah.
That's crazy.
His whole thing was defense, and his defense was trash last year. So
his offense was good.
His offense was all right. Well, let's not go crazy with the, you know,
top half, but
yeah. And they also had a decent amount of injuries and stuff. I mean, he has good weapons. And unfortunately, outside of Justin Jefferson, they are getting older. Dalvin Cook is getting older for running backs. He's not going to be able to be a workhorse like this for too much longer. Adam Thielen, we know what he's been lately for Kirk Cousins. He's just a red zone threat. He's basically a tight end. I mean, can we agree with that? Adam Thielen is pretty much a tight end at this point. He's a monster of a wide receiver, but he's basically playing as a tight end.
I have a friend who loves the Vikings, so like.
Oh, we do too. Like to hey, shout out to Ben. So. Hey, Ben, if you're listening to this show,
Ben.
Yeah, Ben.
There's so many diehard Vikings fans. Yeah. So like, sometimes I just naturally root against them.
So I was trying to go to their opening game this year because like tickets to fly into Minneapolis were only like $150, like round trip, $150. Like that was like one of the cheapest spots that I could find to go.
Vegas right now is like $100 or $200.
It's not bad.
Go to a Raiders game.
Yeah. No, well, we'll see how things shake out. If I can go to more than one game this year, I'll be super happy. But I am excited for the game that we're going to. It's going to be a lot of fun. Well, so.
I mean, for the Vikings, though, I do think that Osborne's going to get more touches.
Well, yeah, he should be healthy. He should be back.
That'll be interesting.
And, you know, Thielen's just...
I think Thielen's healthy. He's back. He's a touchdown monster. Touchdown monster, man.
You can't go wrong.
I still think he's got enough, and he's got that rapport with Kirk Cousins, man. You can't look over that.
I like their weapons, but I just for some reason they just never can follow through to me.
Like I said, it's a lot of the last couple of years. It's been a lot of really inopportune injuries and stuff. Let's see, where is Adam Thielen? Adam Thielen is going 73rd overall. 31st wide receiver off the board.
Yeah.
Which makes him a wide receiver three. Are you telling me you wouldn't like to have, like, I think that he could be a wide receiver too.
He was injured a bunch last year.
I think he could be a wide receiver too.
I don't know, depending on his
just
age.
Based on touchdowns. Touchdowns alone, man. I'm not saying, you know, especially if you're in a standard league, he's somebody that I would look out for. Yeah, also best ball. We don't talk a whole lot about best ball, but that's a format where you draft a whole lot of players and every week they pull your top performers from those specific positions, and that's what your point total goes out there.
Yeah.
So Adam Thielen's somebody that you could get late. And if he goes out there and has like a 2-touchdown, you know, 60-yard game, I mean, that's a good game.
You know what I do like about Kirk Cousins? He's one of the people that I'd like to say is a pass first. So,
The news from
it could be worth
the
while.
The news from camp and everything so far that we've seen has led me to believe that the new coordinator and everything is going to be more pass heavy. And they have had. If you can believe the beat reporters, they have had Dalvin Cook lining up wide, which is really nice. I mean, that's pretty much, I would say, what would have to happen for him to return his value as that RB6. Like,
if he can stay healthy to me, he's an RB6.
Yeah, I mean, staying healthy is the problem because even at FSU, the man is injury prone. I hate saying injury prone, but the man is injury prone. It's tough, but that's where it's at.
The Derrick Rose of the NFL.
Yeah. No, he's not that bad. That's hilarious.
So Kirk Cousins, I have him in my projections. I have him fairly low. I've got him at 16 in 6-point, and I've got him at 18 in 4-point. So... the main thing is I don't see him. He doesn't rush really at all. He's not going to get rushing yards, not going to get rushing touchdowns. And this probably should be adjusted a little bit, but at the same time, I have him getting 43, close to 4,400 yards, which isn't a shabby number by any stretch in the yards. I think the main problem for him is that he throws a decent amount of interceptions for his touchdowns, so that's going to lose you a good amount of points. But I do have him with 35 touchdowns, and I think that, you know, this is just projections based on historical data. Going into this season, he could do way better than that, and I wouldn't be that surprised just because of the changes that they've made at the coaching position. The good thing is that the weapons around him are pretty much the same.
What about Jefferson? I mean, Justin Jefferson.
Justin Jefferson's fantastic.
Freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
And with a pass-first offense, Kirk Cousins, you know, you're going to get, I feel like, really good points from him.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So, I have Justin Jefferson third.
He's like four or five.
I have him third in all formats.
Yeah,
he's my third wide receiver in all formats. So, and he's going as the... Oh, don't reload on me now.
He's first round, right?
Going... Oh, yeah, he's the second wide receiver off the board. So he's going sixth overall.
What, a full point?
What is it I'm seeing here?
I'm looking at standard for that, but still, even in my standard league, I like Deebo Samuel more because of the amount of high-value touches that he gets. The rushing, he scores way more touchdowns on the ground and through the air. Well, not as many through the air, but I have Deebo with 7 touchdowns through the air, 7 on the ground. That's 14 touchdowns total. I only have Jamar Jefferson getting 11 touchdowns on the year.
I still think he's growing. I mean, he's young, and then if you...
Oh, no, he's a fantastic wide receiver.
He's already broken records. I mean, just for being in the...
He's a fantastic wide receiver. Don't get me wrong. The difference in points between him and Deebo in standard is 28 points.
Deebo,
so not a big deal.
And Deebo, I think, missed a game.
So. And then in half PPR, the difference is only 15 points. Full PPR, the difference is only 3 points between them. So it's, you know, Jefferson's going to catch more passes, I think, and he's going to get more yardage. I just think that Deebo's going to end up with more all-purpose yards and more all-purpose touchdowns. So that's why. But that's I do love Justin Jefferson. Don't get me wrong. I love Justin Jefferson. I just don't think that, depending on the way that you're building your team, I probably would rather hold off and get, you know, let's see. Deebo Samuel is going in the second round. I'd rather take Deebo as my number one, obviously, because I have him ahead of him.
I mean, he, you know, they're both projected to do really well. If I can get both, I'd be a happy man.
Yeah, so, if you wanted to go wide receiver, that'd be a pretty mean.
I think that's, you know, and for me, like, I would definitely look to try and get both of those as my receivers because...
And then you could take your guy...
Aaron Jones?
Yeah. No.
I was going to say Watkins is a joke. I was going to be like, don't do that to me.
No. The running back from Chicago that we spent some time on. Montgomery. And then, you know, you take those two guys, you take Montgomery in the third... It's a pretty good starting point.
I feel like it's not bad. Everybody has a different play style. And, you know, when I watch football, it's like, you know, playing fantasy. I look for the ball to go up in the air, you know, and then those big plays. And that's entertaining for me. And then, you know, it makes the game better. But if you get three good receivers that you can trade out.
Before the end of this season, I promise you I'm going to get you on the, what's the best way to put it? The
RB first wave.
Run first bandwagon?
The RB scarcity is what I would call it. Because if you don't go for the RBs early, the ones that you get late are not nearly as valuable. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's perfectly fine.
Whereas wide receivers, you can get wide receivers late that'll still put up better numbers. Like the wide receivers you get late will put up better numbers than the running backs you'll get late.
But it's about getting the best wide receivers early as possible that could put up more points than running backs because of those, you know, it's a fourth and it's a third and goal, you know?
See, I think you're trying to look at this as too much of a real football thing as opposed to a fantasy football thing.
But they're synonymous. I mean, you can get more points overall from, you know, the length of the game.
Arguably.
But, you know, if you have a quarterback who's consistently throwing to his tight end, and I get that tight end as, you know, mine or my wide receiver who they believe in, I mean, I can get 3 touchdowns a game easily off him, you know, just because that's his target. That's his goal. So if I get the best wide receiver, you know, 2-3 best wide receivers that I can interchange always, and then I get a running back that puts up regular, you know, like 13 points a game, 10 points a game. That will hold, but there's, like I said, there's different
styles. I think what we'll have to do is we'll have to get all of the fantasy football friends in a league.
Oh boy!
And see,
oh my god!
And see how that shakes out.
But here's the thing: I'm going to get the best of the best of all my quarterbacks and all the running and all my wide receivers.
You're going to have 5 QBs
also,
and 10 wide receivers.
Also, I'm going to get the best defense because I picked them earlier. I'm going to get the best kicker.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So it sounds like that's what we'll do.
Team is going to be stacked, except for running backs, if I only could play 2 running backs, you know, 1 flex.
You can only play 3 wide receivers.
That's what I'm saying. But I have the best wide receivers, the best quarterbacks, the best defense.
Your running backs are going to suck.
That's fine. If all my other positions put up way more points than everybody else's, that's fine.
This will be a fun. That'll be a fun draft. Then
that's a different
spot. Trust me. I mean, I might not win, but I'll definitely put myself top 4.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Well, hey, you heard it here first. We'll have to start a fantasy football friends draft and league and see how that pans out.
Who's commish?
Oh, I'm commish, obviously. I'm the fearless co-host. I'm commish. Do you guys have anything else to really throw in down there? Irv Smith is coming back at tight end. Yeah, I think that's going to be good with him being healthy. I'm excited for that. KJ Osborne did show a good amount last year. I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing here to me is like seeing that Dalvin Cook and Justin Jefferson both go like top 10. That's just so strange. Like,
for such
really
that you have to be a very high powered offense for that to really work out.
Like, isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That's a little wild. I mean, I'm sure that there are more, but the most prominent pairing that comes to mind is
Joe Mixon, Jamar Chase, probably.
No? Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell.
This could be the year.
I mean, Jamar Chase and Joe Mixon are pretty much the same thing this year, right? They're like almost I mean, it's like top 11 or top 12. It's something.
Well,
great.
Jamar Chase is going 9th overall.
And Joe Mixon's going what?
Joe Mixon.
If we're talking about weapons, though, Irv Smith, Osborne, come on, Thielen, Jefferson, Cook, Cousins, like him. That's like a powerhouse in my
Joe
opinion.
Mixon is going 11th, so
it's pretty similar.
Yeah, it's not that far off. Joe Mixon's going 11th, Dalvin Cook's going 8th, Justin Jefferson is going 6th, and Jamar Chase is going 9th.
They're really good spots
in that range of everything.
I feel like they have so many weapons, but every time I see the season, like there's no follow through. Like something just happens. But speaking whatever their teams that they're, you know, whatever the lineups are.
Speaking of you know, how we feel like they're gonna do at the end of the season. What do you guys think that the over under is gonna be for them?
8.5.
You know, seeing as how I've been wrong most of the time, but I'm a little bit. You know, I'll probably agree with that 8.5 for sure.
Eight and a half. It is 8.5. Like I said, I look at this guy. This is Will. You're going to be our betting guru over here.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get Ben in here.
I live with the betting guru.
Yeah, Ben Anderson. We'll get him on a podcast when we get into the season, talking about some daily stuff maybe, and have him give us some picks or
tear me apart. Like,
yeah.
I'm smashing the over.
Yeah. I would take the over on that. 8.5. That's pretty low. That's doable for them, especially when they're going up against
the Lions
and the Bears for four games. It doesn't leave that much to have to win
with
5 games.
Yeah, I'm especially.
Talk about Montgomery like that, dude. He's got potential.
He can still do well, and the team.
The Bears defense.
Well, do you guys have any other last minute thoughts on the Vikings? There, we're pushing a little bit long here.
The Bears.
DJ, good luck. DJ, good luck. I hopefully see you in the season.
So glad
this year
that
too. I have a couple seasons.
Dub airs and doubles don't play in the same sport, so they don't play each other. That's just some classic SNL stuff right there. But anyway.
I'm just going to put a black tape over my shirt now, you know?
Guys, it was...
Until they win.
It was a lot of fun breaking down this division with you guys. I'm glad that you guys could join me for this. It was a lot of fun. Just a quick end of episode thing. You know, follow us, like us, rate us. Listen to all them episodes. We're out on everything there. Again, if you want to get at us on Twitter, ask us those questions. We're at FFB Friends. We're also on Gmail. theffbfriends@gmail.com. Hit us up there. We appreciate you guys listening, especially to our international listeners that I just saw that we got. We got one in Canada and one in Germany, guys. Dankeschön to our German listeners, and
what's something
thanks
French?
Thanks a
what part of Canada are they in?
I didn't look where they're
croissant.
From I do love croissants.
Go Blue Jays. I don't know.
go Raptors.
All right, guys, well, it was great hanging out with you guys, great talking about this with you guys, and hopefully we'll have you guys on another episode soon. Until then, we appreciate you guys tuning in, all you out there, and keep looking for those episodes. We'll have them coming out regularly until the regular season starts, and then we'll have more episodes coming out for you. Super excited for this season. Super excited to be here with you guys. We are the Fantasy Football Friends. Thank you, and we are out.
See through our lens. We don't follow the trends. Paper on way, zero we stay. It's top of the leaderboard. About time we score. Pay attention, can't ignore these fantasy football friends. See through our lens. We don't follow the trends. Paper on way, zero we stay. It's top of the leaderboard. About time we scored. Pay attention, can't ignore these fantasy football friends.